Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I hope you are all having a phenomenal Monday morning. I know I am. I had a phenomenal weekend. You know, it was Easter weekend, and I think that in itself really takes the cake. And the reason it does is because no matter where you stand spiritually, and we're not here to debate that today, it is a time where you can just enjoy family. And honestly, I believe that's the key. When you're sitting there and you're enjoying family, and you're remembering, those of us anyway that believe that Easter is a time when Jesus Christ died and rose again, you know, it just gives us a little extra. For those that don't believe but they celebrate family, you know, it's a time for that. So it was an awesome time. We had our kids in and out of town and everything. It was a great time. Our daughter-in-law, Felicia, did leave for school in the Coast Guard. She had to go to California, so that left Dalton and Dylan with us. Had an awesome time with them. But today, we are in Howard Schultz's book, Still. And I say that because I have been taking notes. I've got two journals. One is a personal journal, one is a business journal. And honestly, in this book, I've been putting stuff in on both sides. Literally. Stuff has gone into my personal journal on a personal note. Things that I've gleaned from Howard. Same time I put stuff in my business journal. I was on a call last week that a lot of other Starbucks fans were on, partners, both at corporate and in the field, card-carrying Starbucks fanatics. And it was awesome to hear him share his passion and his dream and the way he's connecting with people. These are the things that set a company apart. The subtitle, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul, Chapter 15, Beyond the Status Quo. You guys have heard me talk about the book, The Leadership Challenge, and one of the things that Kaz and Bose talks about in their Kosner and Bose is the fact you have to think outside the box. You cannot go with the status quo, and that's what we're talking about here. Howard opens up. It was December 23rd, 2007, just weeks before I returned as CEO. And Mike Umdell and I had just finished a 30-mile bike ride we took with a group of friends almost every morning in Hawaii over the holidays. More than just exercise, these daily rides had become therapeutic for me, especially as Michael and I got into the habit of talking about our individual challenges at work. That was 30 miles, and they're talking. Dude, I go 5-6 miles on my bike, and I'm not wanting to talk. So these guys, something that all networkers listening should realize is that if you're going to run your business, you need to be in excellent shape. I know I've started a new routine. It's amazing. We've done some great stuff. I'm not going to sidetrack into that, but some awesome things going on. But this is the morning, and this whole chapter, for you that are just hanging out with us, listen, this chapter is on social marketing and how in 2007, the beginning of 2008, Starbucks, who had no presence for the most part on the net except their website, realized what needed to take place. So this was the morning I finally revealed to Michael, in strictest confidence, my intent to return as Starbucks CEO. When we went back to his home after the ride, Michael first took me through Dell's transformation agenda, which I soon adapted for Starbucks. He also showed me a site he called up on his computer screen called Ideal Storm, where your ideas reign. I thought, wow, this is interesting. See, what has happened, we call it collaboration inside the technology world. And what's going on is Michael and Howard had networked, become friends. Michael was sharing some inside stuff of what Dell was doing with Ideal Storm, which is a brand of Salesforce.com. And all of a sudden, it started to dawn on Howard, and as he was going through this, he said the Dell site invites PC users to post their ideas for the company. Michael explained that Dell built Ideal Storm to re-engage with its customers online. The very place it occurred to me where Starbucks also needed to show up, I was intrigued. See, CEOs are busting their butt building a business. Sometimes they don't focus on the obvious. It's not that they don't love what they do. They're retailers, in Howard's case. So the internet was a byproduct. You get in the stores, you experience the people live, one-on-one. But listen to what Howard writes. I've always believed that innovation is about rethinking the nature of relationships, not just rethinking products. And as Michael explained how IdealStorm was helping Dell listen to customers and improve its products and services, I nodded. There was definitely something here for Starbucks, a chance to reconnect with customers, something they had lost in the last few years. If you've studied this, and I mean, I'm devouring this. This thing is written in like my book, Time Out, like my Bible. I mean, I am digging deep because I want to be the best officer in a company that I can be. I want to be the best consultant that I can be. I want to be the best thought coach that I can be. So as I'm studying this, there's really three things that Howard has made clear in this book. One, customers are king. If you cannot take care of the customer at the experience inside of a Starbucks or your business, you're not going to make it long term. The second thing that he's made very clear is partners is number one priority. He wants partners that work for Starbucks to be so excited, to be so proud, to be so well served that they become the sounding board for the company. And third, he wants to make sure by doing the first two that he adds shareholder equity. As I've studied this, thinking outside the status quo, I started figuring this out. See, in most cases, no matter what your marketing company is, no matter what your brick-and-mortar company is, you're constantly focused on the numbers. The numbers are going to tell you the story. What the numbers don't share with you is the emotional connection. What the numbers will not show you in the beginning is the pipeline being filled with emotional collateral. I think that is something I've taken away from these first 15 chapters. If a company only focuses on the numbers and doesn't focus on the real emotional meaning, the goodwill behind why their company was started, the passion, the mission, the dream, they will not make it. When Howard brought in a professional CEO to run the company, if I was, and Lord knows I'm not ever going to be more than likely, but if I was in front of Howard and we were drinking a cup of his famous coffee that he uses the French press to make, and he said, Troy, in everything that you've read of mine and everything that you've seen as an outsider, even as a very, very, very teeny small stockholder in the company, could you isolate one mistake that I might have made when I resigned as CEO the first time? Here's what it would be. He did not, at least in any of his writings, he did not take the CEO that replaced him on the same journey he was on. If he'd have taken him to Italy and walked him through the streets and let him experience the cafes, the coffee, the emotional connection like Howard had had in the early years, had he done that, I believe that he would have been passing on that legacy. This time around, I think Howard realized that he had to bring the team with him. All of a sudden, in this chapter, he doesn't try to do it all himself. He's brought in experts from outside the company. Said Michael immediately emailed Mark Benoff, the founder and CEO of Salesforce.com. They're a competitor of ours, by the way. The company whose customer relation management application was the foundation of Dell's site. Mark was also vacationing with his family in Hawaii, and the next morning, even though it was Christmas Eve, he and I met for breakfast. This is profound. Mark's intelligence and foresight, as he gave me the courtesy education of the power of online customer communities, and we agreed that it was definitely an element that Starbucks could benefit from. See, here's something in this book that's helped me. I'm going to do a selfless plug. One of the products that my company has is a CRM program. We also have a social networking site. This book has given me the creativity that this morning when I'm chatting with my partners, I'm going to say, you know what? we need to launch a social CRM platform for our customers and our clients' customers. This is beautiful. See, you never know when one nugget can help change something. This is why you should constantly be reading. In this case, Howard realized Starbucks needed this. By the end of breakfast, I had taken the conversation with Mark as far as I could, but I knew who could take it further. I grabbed my cell phone and dialed a Seattle number. That right there, that one little sentence, two sentences, I put words of wisdom by. I want to break into this. If you're a CEO and you're running I'm gonna focus in really quick. If you're a CEO or you're a top distributor in a company, in a direct selling company that's either launched or getting ready to launch or is bringing out a new product with coffee, you're wanting to dominate in certain areas, listen to what I'm about to say again. By the end of breakfast, I had taken the conversation with Mark as far as I could, but I knew who could take it further, and I grabbed my cell phone and dialed the Seattle number. Howard knew where his competency was and where he had been lost, where he couldn't, there was nothing else. He just knew this would work, that they needed it. And two, he took action, picked up his phone, and put somebody in charge who had the competency. Something I've learned a long time ago, just because you run the company, just because you're the stud who thought of it, doesn't mean you have the competency to take care of every little piece of it. You have to bring in crew members, top echelon people that you can trust who are experts in their field. And if you're launching this company today, the odds are you're a successful CEO in the direct selling niche. If you've been called in as a master distributor, you are a perfect stud or studette at what you do, and you can attract the right people. But you may not know everything there is to know about the coffee industry. You may not have everything you need to know to be able to blend the two together. So you have to make sure you have people around you. If you're not going to take the time to have a passion for coffee, then bring the people in that do. There's some great companies, and I've said this over and over, in the direct selling niche. I believe coffee will be the next billion-dollar niche. Energy's rolling right now. It's going to hit. And that's already there. We already know that energy was there. But coffee is going to be it. There's some companies out there that have launched, and they launched prematurely, and they've struggled. And if they just hang on, they're going to pick up some of the revenue. There's some new companies that are gourmet coffee companies. There's some companies out there that are into the instant blend, which we're going to talk about with Starbucks later. It's worked. But you have to have a team around you. Do not try, as the founder or CEO or even the top distributor, to be all things to all people. He picked up his cell phone and he dialed the Seattle number. Inside our company, there was a standing joke. Whenever a partner tells someone he or she works at Starbucks, the other person's response is more often than not a to-do list. See, customers, because they had kind of lost the experience over the last few years, had every time somebody said, "I work at Starbucks," they said, "Well, here's what you guys ought to be doing." So Howard already knew that customers had all kinds of ideas. Now, see, sometimes from the inside, we try to come up with ideas. We try to change the world from the inside out instead of the outside in. We do not listen. I learned this in the Marine Corps, and this is probably why I think every CEO should go into the Marines. There is no such thing as a dumb question. There's no such thing as a dumb idea. There's also no such thing as a dumb critique. You listen, you learn, and you implement that which makes most sense. And that's what Howard was trying to accomplish. He knew that if they could just figure out a way that capturing that instant, that moment when the idea was fresh, was another way to reignite our emotional attachment to the customer. He said, while it was bizarre for some of the people inside of our company to wonder why we wanted an online presence in 2007, we would have been foolish not to explore the hidden opportunity. If you're listening today, the barrier of entry into social media is small. We do a lot of consulting on the side for companies who want to dominate their niche inside of social media, and it's not, we don't teach them what a lot of people do out there that you run across. This is in-depth stuff. It has to blend with everything you're doing offline. It has to work, because at the end of the day, just like Howard has learned, the ultimate emotional connection will never be online. It will be offline, in their case, in a Starbucks. In your case, it might be in your brick-and-mortar business. It might be in a Starbucks if your distributors are there, but it's probably going to be in somebody's living room or some hotel room. He also knew that they had never done any national advertising. Starbucks, for the most part, is one of the most, I'm going to coin this phrase, it is an organically built network marketing company without a compensation plan. Now, if you're like me, you can go get an affiliate account over and market some stuff. But what I'm talking about here is, for the whole part, Starbucks was built on word-of-mouth advertising. There is no such thing, really, as national advertising campaigns with Starbucks. They have become such an icon in the world that they rank right up there with Apple, with Nike. Their newest logo has nothing about their name on it. Their logo has become so well known that they don't need their name on it any longer. All by word of mouth advertising. Word of mouth marketing. One person telling somebody else and having an experience that cannot be described without somebody being in it. See, this is what's so important. Howard writes this: the risk with social media was showing up inappropriately. If not done thoughtfully, it could damage our brand. See, the one thing about social media is that it's chaotic out there. And if you're going to win with it and you're going to do it right, you should pick up this book Onward and you should read a little bit about what Howard did. You guys realize that on Twitter and on Facebook that Starbucks is the number one, what we would call a marketplace company, not a not-profit? Number one. There's a reason for that. See, this is the kicker. But as we just read a minute ago, Howard picked up his phone and called a phone number. He called Chris Bouzos. Chris was the interim CTO of the company. He had brought him over from Amazon. Chris had helped Amazon create that customer experience at their company. They weren't just selling books anymore. They had people hanging out and communicating. I do a lot of book reviews over there. You hang out, you communicate, you blog, you do your stuff. That's the kicker behind all this. And they dug in. He said, Chris, when I hang up, you need to call Mark over in Hawaii. They had a quick conversation on Christmas Eve 2007. And by January of 2008, Starbucks was launching what they called Green Storm. They were putting it together. Nothing was holding them back. They teamed up. They collaborated with the Salesforce.com folks. They put their own team together. And they started building it. It's interesting the way Howard sees this. He says, the digital team dove in, and very quickly, one overarching notion became clear. More important than customers' ideas would be the discussions that followed. Each idea was a door, an opening line for conversations on topics our customers cared about, like recycling or low-fat food. By using suggestions as opportunities to learn from and inform our customers, the new website would be more than a mere one-way suggestion box like in the old-fashioned customer service days. Instead, it would be a genuine opportunity to connect. How are you connecting? Now, in most direct selling companies, the focus is on the distributors. Make the distributors happy. Focus on the distributors. But there's a couple of companies, and I shared this with you guys the other day, 2110 and Vima, who've taken the concepts of Starbucks and they've implemented them. 2110 is driven right now by customers, not by distributors. I learned just the other day that the Amateur Wrestling Association in California has adapted the life shots for the teams out there, and they're using them like crazy. Not just one team, the whole association. The Barreco family over at VIMA realized it's not just the brand partners who need to be building the brand. We need to, and they teamed up with professional NBA teams and built lounges inside of gigantic stadiums and support these teams like I've never seen in the past. Not a little soccer team, not a little amateur team, but the Phoenix Suns. See, it's beyond the old status quo. Because of social media, because of the internet, distributors and customers alike want to feel good about the brand. If you look at the millennial generation, it's even bigger than ever. If you look at the fact that women dominate every financial decision in the world today, you realize women are beautiful, emotional creatures. And they're going to talk about the brand if they believe in it. If they don't, excuse me, if they don't believe in it, they're going to talk about it too, and you're not going to like it. Howard and his team understood this. They understood that inviting uncensored real-time conversations and criticism would make some people really nervous. Kind of like when Howard's memo got leaked out. Transparency and authenticity sucks if you have something to hide. But transparency and authenticity, if you want to build connection and build it tightly with your client base, is huge. Where would you guys be if you had secrets from your spouses? Paige and I yesterday were sitting out with the baby Dylan, and we were chatting, and she said something, and I disagreed with it. But I told her I would support her decision. It had something to do with the kids. She knows I disagree, but she knows I support her. Open, transparent, authenticity is what builds relationships in business or in the personal life. It has to be streamlined. It has to be focused. If you're going to go out there and do something, my friend has done something phenomenally well. I really like what he's done. He built a I think you call it a group or a fan page. I think it's a group. Facebook. It's called the Fearless Networker, and he just leaves it open for open discussion. And there's been some heated discussions. But it's transparent. It's authentic. Brings up creativity in the minds of people. We all need to be this way. Howard goes on to write, the digital team made two key decisions up front. First, instead of assigning one or two people to moderate the site full time, they enlisted 50 partners from throughout the company to spend 8 hours a week monitoring posts in their areas of expertise. Coffee, food, and conservative-type issues. Putting our corporate partners in direct contact with customers seemed risky, but it was the most authentic, honest way to communicate. Over the last 2 years, I have built trust by being authentic and transparent. There's a lot of people that hang out on our blogs and our Facebook pages on the radio shows that fully understand the magnitude of my transparency. My life hasn't been perfect. My kids are not perfect. We hide nothing. Because of that transparency, whenever I go and I critique a company, good or bad, you know, it doesn't matter. If there's some critical issues there. People respect that. I've had CEOs and founders call me on the phone, having no problem whatsoever to communicate with me, because they know that if they say, please keep this off the record for a while, I will. If they say something that is hard-hitting and I was wrong, then I'm gonna put it up and say I was wrong. This is the magnitude of what we must do. We are not perfect. Starbucks wasn't perfect. Your company isn't perfect. Don't pretend that it is, but be open and authentic. The best thing you can do is when you're talking to a customer, say, this is how we are different. Some people might view this as a weakness. I didn't marry the perfect woman in the world. You've never seen her on the front cover of some magazine that said she was the sexiest or the smartest, the brightest, the fastest. But I married the most perfect woman for me. The same thing rings true with your company. It's not going to be the biggest, the best all the time. It's not going to have the greatest product. It's not going to be flawless. But if you've done the vetting process and you've joined for the right reason and you've partnered up with them, then it will be the best company for you and you'll be able to share that. See, this is what we're talking about today, folks. You've got to build it. But there's an extra added ingredient you don't find in an MBA program, and here it is. Howard writes this, and I found it very, very deep. Starbucks just had to go for it with faith that the site's participants, like guests at a dinner table, would act with decency and police themselves, incurring excellent ideas and shuddering ugly chatter. I'm sad to say last year on my blog, that didn't happen a lot. There was some nasty chatter. We've made corrections with that this year, and we're having less comments. But I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that what Howard just said right here is the way to go. Don't try to critique. Don't try to censor. Try to lead. Seth Godin calls it a tribe, and that's what you're focused on. That's where you need to be driving it home. It's the only way that you're going to be able to build something you can be proud of. It's the only way people are going to come knocking on your door. Because if they don't believe that you're being authentic, if they don't believe they can be authentic, if they're not going to listen when there's mistakes. One of the things that just burns my hide more than anything else is when a CEO calls me in for consulting, I make a comment to them about what they need to do and how they need to be transparent and how they need to listen and stop braying people that don't agree with them and they disagree with me. And within a few months to a year, they're done with network marketing because they can't handle it. The products, the services, none of them will be perfect, but they can be strong. They can be good. People forget in network marketing and direct selling, whether it's party plan, MLM, whatever you want to call it, direct sales as a whole, they forget that it's about human interaction. It's about the emotional connection, not the financial transaction. Howard has made it clear, if you want to build value in your company, public or private, for your shareholders, the only way to do that is to build an emotional connection that creates an experience for both the partners, the distributors, and the employees, and the customers or clients in which you're serving. That is the key. You got to build it fresh, it's got to be fun, it's got to be connecting. You got to make it happen. You cannot set back and expect others to do what you should be doing. Lord knows I'm not perfect at this, but I know where my passions fall. I know where my passions lie. I know how I love helping people and connecting, and that's what you need to do if you're going to make it in direct sales at any level. I don't care if you're in a pharmaceutical company, if you're in a copier company, you know, if you're selling, it doesn't matter what you're selling. You could be selling cable TV. You better have an emotional connection and have a passion for what you're doing. Folks, I love doing these shows. I love it when you're hanging out with us. Tomorrow, Chapter 16, Bold Moves. I tell you what, every chapter can help you build your business. Go buy the book, Onward, by Howard Schultz and Joanne Gordon, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning with us on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.